get yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yeah, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now, walk the streets a screaming now.
Greetings, all you 99 percenters. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus, the show, Alternative Visions. Okay, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it? Well, it was tax day a few days ago, and one of the headlines was about how much money the corporations are spending to buy back their stock this year. Yes, they're planning to provide, in terms of stock buybacks and dividend payouts, over $1 trillion to their investors just this year alone. $1 trillion. At the same time, we have these additional tax cuts working their way through Congress to give the wealthy even greater tax cuts. I mean, how long does this have to go on? Trillions of dollars since 2009 and the end of the recession. You know, almost $1 trillion last year, almost $1 trillion before that. It's like $4 or $5 trillion in stock buybacks and dividend payouts over the last 5 years. Well, no wonder income inequality is going through the roof in this country. Well, you know, some folks are fighting back. And one of the fight backs we saw was this national protest on April 15th of the fast food workers for a $15 an hour living wage. You know, you think 15, that's not a lot. That's still poverty. That's at the top of the poverty level. You know, well, at least they're fighting back. And, you know, SEIU, the unions, my union, SEIU, and others, by the way, we just organize, our faculty organize, and SEIU and other unions are behind this fast food thing. Well, there's another fight that's important going on right now that affects all workers in this country, not just minimum wage workers, and that's the fight against this Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement. You know, as I said a couple years ago, it's North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, on steroids. And I'm glad to hear everyone picked up that phrase, because that's exactly what it is. It's free trade on steroids. I wrote a piece, one of my weekly pieces for Telesur Medium, media a couple of weeks ago on March 24th. You can read it on my blog, jackrasmus.com, called TPP Trade Negotiations at Critical Juncture. And what I said was, well, if you read what I wrote last November, free trade, TPP, was going to be at the top of the corporate and congressional Republican and phony Democrat list of priorities. Yes, TPP, number one, right behind that, tax cuts for corporations and investors. But TPP was number one. Why? Because they have a window of opportunity. They, meaning big corporations, multinationals, and their friends in Congress, they know they got to make it happen this year, right away. Because the global economy is very unstable and slowing down. You read the details every day here. This thing is, once again, sliding into oblivion. They know they got to get it done now, because if there's a global slowdown, then the difficulties of negotiating these kind of deals are going to be even more difficult. And then, of course, you know, China is forming its own free trade agreement in the region, and its Asian Development Bank just won a big coup here a couple of weeks back. So, you know, U.S. multinational corporations and their friends and government know they got to get it done right now, this year, before things get worse. And the linchpin to it all is this fast-track approval for President Obama, who's been a free trader from the very, very beginning, way back in 2008. You know, he said he wasn't, and he attacked Hillary Clinton back in 2008 because Bill Clinton, of course, was a free trader, source of NAFTA. And he attacked Hillary, but, you know, he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He knew he was going to promote free trade himself, and, of course, he has all along. Bilateral agreements everywhere, and this is one of his priorities now. Ah, but he doesn't have it in the bag, folks. He doesn't have it wrapped up yet. There are fissures in the ranks of even the Democratic Party on this issue, and it's all around fast track. That fast track means to give the president authority to negotiate an agreement, and then Congress would abrogate some of its Democratic rights and simply vote up and down and not amend it and not make any comments or changes to it, just up or down, that's it, right? That's what fast track's all about. Okay, so we have some guests here today. I'm going to stop yakking, and I'm going to introduce the guests who are deeply involved, not just in the analysis of free trade and the TPP, and by the way, its cousin, a European cousin, is right behind it, coming right behind it here, but they are involved in organizing against it. And there's a big National Day of Protest coming up tomorrow, April 18th. Well, that's today, isn't it? Excuse me, April 18th, Saturday, all across the country, led by unions and other groups like Citizens Trade and so forth, real grassroots mobilization going on, just like the fast food protests for living wage. So even though the rich are getting money hand over fist handed to them, people are beginning to stand up and say, "Up, no more." And that's a good sign. That's a real good sign. So I have a couple guests here that I want to introduce. Let's see if they're on the line. One is Callie Gochmanowski from Southern California area organizing for Citizens Trade. Callie, are you on the line?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Gee, Kelly, did I? I hope I pronounced your name correctly here.
You actually did. That was really impressive.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, it sounds Polish, and I'm part Polish too, so I could see what it was. I think you're Polish. You know, you could be.
My relatives never would tell me if it was Polish or Russian. They weren't sure.
Yeah, well, you know, in those days when my grandparents came over, the borders moved back and forth over there, so they didn't even know what they were from year to year. Anyway, enough of the small talk, and I believe we also have Emily Israel. Emily with the AFL-CIO. Emily, are you on the line?
Hi, Jack. Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay. Emily is the field communications rep for the Western Region for the AFL-CIO. Which, of course, has jumped into this anti-TPP ring with both feet here, which is a good thing to see finally, because the consequences for American workers is going to be immense. We already know that the NAFTA free trade agreement has cost us at least 3 million jobs, at least 3 million jobs, and those are good jobs. That are generally in manufacturing that have been moved offshore as these free trade agreements allow American multinational companies to relocate. You know, you can't separate out the free trade treaties from the offshoring. They're one and the same. And, you know, these free trade deals, folks, it's not simply about goods moving back and forth. You read these agreements, and most of them are about conditions in which allow American companies to move to these other countries, you see. And then, of course, they want to send the goods back to us without paying tariffs on that. So it's, they don't let us make the goods anymore. They make them offshore, but they still let us buy the goods, and they keep the extra profits. That's what free trade is all about. And we lose millions of jobs in the process. You know, here's an example, just one, of what NAFTA did, folks. We used to have a very vibrant auto parts industry in this country. You know, one of the leading companies was Delphi. Had over 100,000 workers in the U.S., 25 plants in the U.S. Well, they're almost all shut down. I think maybe they are all shut down. And now Delphi is the biggest manufacturer of auto parts in Mexico. In fact, it's one of the biggest companies in Mexico now. So they just moved it all across the border. Well, that's going to happen with TPP, magnitudes, right? And it won't be simply moving stuff to China, but it's moving stuff to Vietnam, where it's even cheaper, and all of the countries in the Pacific Rim here. So it's a big problem, and it's also a big problem because it means we're giving up our democracy here. You know, what little we got left, it means that if these corporations pass, and they're writing the bill, you know, the TPP terms and agreements, they're the ones writing it in secrecy. But, you know, if it passes, then this agreement, we can't pass any laws that violate this global multinational corporation agreement. We're, in effect, giving up our sovereignty with this thing. So it's not just an economic threat. It's a democratic threat as well. Okay. Now, Emily, I know you have a busy day today, and you're going to have to go fairly soon. So let's chat here with you, and then Callie, we'll move on to yourself here. And you know, what do you want to tell the audience about this TPP thing? The most important points, and not just the problem with it, but what are people doing? And feel free to you know, give references where they can go to find out more activities today on the 18th of April, and what they can do following up and so forth, because this fight isn't over. This fight's going to go on for a while.
Yes, definitely. So the bill was introduced this week, and we are definitely ramping up the urgency of the factions we've been having. Folks have been organizing, you know, all throughout this negotiation process, so it's definitely not just a one-day thing. Tomorrow in California, we're going to have actions all the way from San Diego up through the Bay Area. A variety of things people can be participating in, rallies. Some folks will be phone banking, calling constituents, asking them to contact their members in Congress, you know, telling them to be the voice of working people against the fast track and against bad trade deals like the TPP. We'll have folks tabling at big public events. There's some Earth Day tabling as well as rallies and canvassing, going door to door. We want people to know that this is happening. We want folks to know what this is, because there are still a lot of people who don't know what exactly fast track and trade deals like the TPP, how that's going to affect them. So the more we can get the word out on that, the better. And specifically for tomorrow's day of action, people can go to
tomorrow, let me interrupt you. Tomorrow is actually today, Saturday,
yes.
April 18th.
Yeah, if you're looking to get involved today, April 18th, you can check out this website. It's go.aflcio.org/fast-track-actions. And you'll see we have dozens of events across the country, and definitely a lot going on in California. It's a big, important state that will be deeply affected by the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So that's one avenue that people can use to go, you know, see what's going on around them. You can definitely follow the conversation online using hashtag StopFastTrack. And we do have a phone number set up for people who want to make calls, because it is important that your congressional representatives hear from you, you know, that they know that you're paying attention to this, and that you know, you're not in favor of like what you said earlier, giving up our voice on any bad trade policies. You know, that's what's led to millions of jobs lost and millions of people whose good manufacturing jobs have been displaced, and leading them to have to take lower paying jobs. So this is the number that you can call to tell Congress that Fast Track is undemocratic, and we need to stop it right now. So it is 1-855-712-8441.
Can you give us that website again? It was rather long. Maybe everyone didn't get it down.
Yes. So
GoAFLCIO, is that the one?
Yes, it's go.aflcio.org/fast-track-actions.
Okay.
And you'll be able to find what's going on in your area on there.
Okay. Listeners, this is 10 o'clock here Saturday on the 18th, so there's still plenty of time to have yourself heard and or put your body out there. You know, nothing's going to change until we actually get out into the streets. That's the only thing they listen to, you know, and stop sitting on your butts. Get out there and do something today. Okay. What else would you like to tell the audience here, Emily, about, you know, the AFL-CIO and its position on Fast Track? Folks, this is the Fast Track, you know, is the immediate issue. TPP is the broader issue. If they get Fast Track passed here in the next couple of weeks, it means they're 90% of the way home here in wrapping up TPP the way they want to. So the linchpin, as I said, is Fast Track. We got to stop Fast Track first.
You're exactly right. You know, for the past 20 or so years since NAFTA was first enacted, our trade policy has really been driven by the desires and goals of the 1%. You know, it's all been about deregulating, making it easier for companies to invest offshore. You mentioned companies that were actually profitable and had, you know, were employing lots of folks here in the U.S., taking advantage of these trade deals to go overseas and close down those factories that were actually making profits in the U.S. in order to drive down wages, benefits, and worker protection. So we're definitely thinking about the impact on working families with this, and we need to shut down Fast Track because with Fast Track, they'll be able to rush down this TPP deal that has been largely negotiated in secret. You know, people, the administration, folks who have been trying to push TPP have been, you know, saying things like this is a way to equal out our trade deficit. You know, if there's provisions that will protect workers, but it's all been negotiated behind closed doors, very undemocratically. There's no public, nothing available for public review. So what all we can go off of is like you mentioned the past decades of just really bad trade policies that have had horrible consequences for working people.
Yes, and I think you pointed out how people have lost higher paid jobs and they've got lower paid jobs and maybe part-time jobs now and so forth. And you know, that's why when you look at real median family incomes in the U.S. since 2009, they've been declining every year for the last 5 years, and actually even before that, median real family income has been declining. Now compare that, folks, to the fact that, you know, stockholders and bondholders are getting another $1 trillion this year in just buybacks and dividends. That's not even the whole picture, and that's only the Fortune 500 companies, you know. No wonder we got income inequality. The rich are getting richer hand over fist and accelerating, escalating, and the rest of us are getting service jobs, half-time, contingent paid jobs while we're losing, you know, full-paid, good, decent jobs, union jobs. They're gone, right? And that's going to accelerate here. The problem that we've got right now is going to get many times worse with TPP. By the way, you know, this TPP, if you look at who's negotiating it, well, some facts here. There's 28 industry groups quietly negotiating and have been for a couple of years now. Actually, you know, the whole offensive for this TPP begins in 2010. I'll maybe say a few things about that later. But, you know, what do you got? You've got 566 people at the table. 480 of them, reportedly, are representatives of business, trade, and industry groups. And the rest are pro-trade academics, you know, who are looking for funding from corporations, and a smattering of some sympathetic NGOs that benefit from corporate contributions. These are the folks who are sitting around negotiating this. And until recently, even your congresspeople didn't know what was being discussed. In secret. This is a secret deal. There's leaks going on, but it's a secret deal. Well, you know, you keep things secret because you don't want to reveal and upset people what's going on here. So This is being done in you know, one of the sneakiest ways, and that ought to make us suspicious right away about the whole thing. But it's really negotiated by the corporations for the corporations on behalf of the corporations. That's what this thing is. Emily, anything else?
No, that's right. I mean, if these deals were really meant to be helpful to working people, if these trade deals were really so good for all of us, then exactly why would they need to be concocted in secret? So that's why we're definitely ramping up after this day of action. You know, just getting more and more people involved, letting more and more people know that this is happening. You know, right under a lot of our noses.
Very, very good final point there. And once again, telephone 1-855-712-8441 if you want more information on it, or hashtag Stop Fast Track, or go.aflcio.org/fast-track-action. And I really encourage folks to follow up with those sites and see what you can do. See what you can do. It's time to stop just complaining about these things. You're going to have to get up off your butt and do something, or they're just going to run right over us. You know, we're already under one of the wheels here, and, you know, they're just gunning that engine and trying to, you know, run over us everywhere, totally. And if we don't do something, they're going to get away with it, okay? And, you know, what's really really a shame is that half of the Democratic, or a good part of the Democratic Party, is really going along with this. You know, there's a, quote, progressive wing in the party that's fighting back. But, you know, if you watch what's been happening in the last decade or so, that progressive wing is getting smaller and smaller. Some have been speaking up. Bernie Sanders, of course, who's not a Democrat, has been speaking up against this, telling what is. And I think even some mainstreamers like Charles Schumer, the senator from New York, is having some doubts about this, right? Emily, you have any information about where these Democrats are lining up on this issue? Hello? Oh, I think we lost
Hi,
Emily.
Ethan. Sorry,
Emily, is that you or is it Callie?
I'm still here.
This is Emily, but I'll be hopping off soon. We do have also a digital ad campaign going on, focusing on some of, as you mentioned, the folks who are not currently working people in terms of their position on Fast Track. So we're on the ground. We're online, and we're definitely in their offices as well, with our members, talking to them about why they need to stand strong and get against this. So
okay.
Yeah, just definitely thank you for highlighting our day of action. It's that grassroots action is so important to stopping Fast Track. And I'll be jumping off now, but please do follow up on the website with the phone calls and online and stay involved.
Okay, thank you, Emily. Callie, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Callie, we're going to have a discussion, you and I, and the rest of the show here. Callie, once again, for folks listening, is the Southern California regional organizer for Citizens Trade, a group that has been active against TPP for some time. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Citizens Trade, Callie, and what your positions are and what the activities are that you're involved in.
Sure. Well, I mean, generally, in a quick description, Citizens Trade Campaign is a very broad-based coalition that basically fights against free trade and fights for fair trade. And right now, obviously, one of our main campaigns is fighting the Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership that got introduced into the Senate yesterday.
Okay, so it's passed the House, I presume, and now it's just sort of up to the Senate. What position they're going to take? Is that the legislative picture?
No, you know, it was introduced into the Senate yesterday, and actually that it still needs to go, if it makes it to the House, it will still need to be voted on in the House, and it has not left the Senate yet. So there's still time to make some things happen here. There's still time to reach out to your Congress reps and ask them to please commit to voting no on it. The more commitments we can get right now to voting no on the bill, if it was to reach the House, the less chance that it will ever reach the House. So we really want to focus on getting people to contact their Congress reps and, again, try to get them to commit. A lot of Congress reps who wouldn't commit prior to this week, well, their main excuse was, hey, we can't see the bill yet. We haven't seen the bill. I can't come out against something that I haven't seen. Well, the bill's out, and they can see the text. It's 113 pages. I've actually been emailing it to the Congress reps in Southern California that I would like to get to commit to voting no against it and telling them, okay, here you go. Read it, and please tell me now, are you voting for it or not? And so hopefully we can get them to commit to not vote for it. Is what we were trying to do here.
Yeah, and I would urge listeners to be even more aggressive than that when you contact them. Say, look, you know, this is so important to us and our livelihoods that if you vote for this, you're undermining my livelihood, and I'm going to do what I can to undermine yours in the future when you run again. I mean, let's not be so polite that we give them an option. I know some folks don't want to be that aggressive, but, sometimes you got to really make your case to get the attention that it deserves. So don't pull any punches with these representatives. Tell them, what the consequences for them will be, because there's certainly going to be consequences for you if they vote for it. It's time to... stop dancing around with some of these representatives who try to play both sides against the middle and take a firm stand here with them. It's a question of taste and so forth, but I think it's time we be a little more demanding here other than just requesting that they vote for or against something here. Okay, put them on the spot. Now it's time.
Well, I think if you were, especially like you said, if you were somebody who helped somebody get elected, if you were getting out the vote and you were going door to door and you helped somebody get elected and they committed to standing, with the middle class and with jobs and with the environment, then you should probably try to hold them accountable to that.
Good. We're in agreement. What is Citizen Trades doing down there in Southern California in terms of organizing? What are some of the activities that today, Saturday, April 18th, folks can find out? And where can they also go in terms of your websites and other websites for what they can do this afternoon?
Well, the websites they're going to want to check out for us are going to be two. I would probably direct them to globaltradeday.org. And that's kind of the landing page for the global actions. You'll see on that homepage a map and just the actions all over the world. And you can zoom in to California. You can zoom in to Southern California or Northern California. And you can see that at 11 a.m. people will be gathering on the Highland Park in Los Angeles. There they will be there from 11 a.m. today till 5:30 p.m. The address for that park is 4702 North Figueroa Street, and that's in Los Angeles. And then down in San Diego, people are gathering at the Machinist Union Hall at 2 p.m., and that's at 5150 Kearny Mesa Road. And this is for a community forum to get a little education on the issue, and then we'll be taking action in the form of contacting and leaving messages for Congress members there, having people put these phone numbers directly into their cell phones so that they can continue contacting them throughout the week about it. And then also we are engaging in a handwritten letter-writing campaign that we've been really working with a lot of unions on, specifically the Communication Workers of America. We've been working on getting constituents to write handwritten letters to their Congress reps, and we actually have a template that helps people create the letter, very simple, And some of these Congress reps who have been kind of not willing to take a position on the issue and not seeming to care no matter how many times we go in there and beg them to, and with no matter how many people, it seems that these letters are starting to actually affect them. And it seems to be one of the first times and one of the only things that we have found so far that's cracking some of these harder to crack reps. So especially down here in San Diego with some of those reps and at that forum, we're going to be trying to get everybody there to do a handwritten letter on spot and hopefully get more of these handwritten letters. On that same day, I know some people from the Communication Workers of America, but today they will be in D.C. They're also delivering more handwritten letters to some of the reps in D.C. From the constituents, from their constituents back home. So that's some of the stuff we have going on. And again, you can go to globaltradeday.org and you'll be able to see an action anywhere in the world. They're all over the place today.
I know in Northern California, for the folks listening in Northern California, where I'm located, there is going to be today at 11 a.m., which means it probably won't really get started till noon, so you got plenty of time to run down there, at Harry Bridges Plaza in front of the Ferry Building in San Francisco, Embarcadero and Market Street. Right, there's going to be a march and protest rally to oppose the TPP. So, you know, head on down to Embarcadero and Market Street, Harry Bridges Plaza, near the Ferry Building. You all know where that is in Northern California, and join the rally and the march. And I think also in the East Bay, we've got a phone rally or something, Communication Workers of America phone bank against Fast Track, right? That's going on today, and that's going on in Sacramento as well. And you can contact Robert Longer of CWA Local 9421, and he can be reached at robert@CWALocal9421.org. So contact him and see where you could go today to participate. And there's canvassing going on in Martinez in the East Bay as well, organized by the Contra Costa Central Labor Council at 1333 Pine Street in Martinez. So you folks in the East Bay, they don't want to go over to San Francisco, you know, go to 1333 Pine Street in Martinez, and that's going to be going on all morning here, canvassing to stop Fast Track. Okay, so those are some of the activities that are going on. What else can let's discuss the, for those who may not be totally up to date on what all this means for them and others. Discuss what what is the TPP here. What are some of the key issues? We've been talking about them a little bit, but maybe, from your perspective, Callie, what do you see as the main issues with this disastrous thing called TPP?
All right, well, this is the thing about the TPP. The TPP is the largest trade deal in history because it covers a lot more issues than just trade. It's kind of a joke to call it just a trade deal. A lot of people would say it's more of a global governance treaty, and I would be likely to agree with that. This is because of all the chapters. Only, I think, 5 to 6 of them cover trade. The other 20-something chapters cover things from healthcare to investor-state disputes, patent protection for businesses, internet, things that go out the internet. It really seems to be something that is giving global corporations, multinational corporations, a better playing field for themselves. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's good even for our country, for other countries, or for the citizens of the country. You've already heard from the AFL-CIO speak about labor and the problems with labor. Very concerned that just like NAFTA, we're going to be offshoring more jobs and driving down wages. Now, the other concerns come into play with the environment. Groups like the Sierra Club, Food and Water Watch, very concerned 350.org has been working on climate change, very concerned about the investor state dispute settlement provisions. ISDS is what we call it, the investor state dispute provisions, which basically allows any corporation to sue any government for any kind of national or domestic laws that they may want to pass that may dip into the profit line of a company. And, you know, if you don't believe this is already going on or can't go on, it is already going on, you know, with existing free trade deals that we already have. And, for example, in California, when we tried to remove MTBE from the gas plant because it was polluting the groundwater, and we found that it was very hazardous to our health, here came Methanex, the Canadian company that was putting the MTB in the gasoline, and they were going to lose a bunch of money if we pass this law, and they sue us. Now, California, thankfully, had the billions of dollars that they had to throw at the case to be able to win it. But, you know, if that was to happen in a municipality that didn't have that kind of money, you know, I don't know what would happen. It really also kind of chills people from even doing things like that because they could be afraid they're going to get sued. Not to mention, yeah, that's great that California had the billions of dollars to throw at this, but I would prefer for my tax dollars to be spent somewhere else, not fighting Methanex, because they're upset that they're losing money because we're trying to remove a chemical from gasoline that's harming our environment and our children and our health. Because it's getting in our water. So it's getting out of hand, and it's getting a little crazy with the investor state dispute settlement provisions. And that, you know, concerns, again, people who work on the environment and who work in consumer protection, who work to protect our food and our water. Because, again, if companies can start suing for policies that we're passing to do these protections, then I think you can imagine how much trouble we could end up being in. Businesses and economic groups are against this TPP as well, because it's not really good for small businesses because of the offshoring of jobs that it does. And they claim that, you know, it can help companies be better exporters. But, you know, we really haven't seen that with NAFTA. What we really saw was just wages being driven down and a lot of companies offshoring, closing down shops, call centers being closed down, manufacturing centers being closed down and sent either overseas or to other states. So,
And also, you know, small businesses are going to be hurt by this because how are they going to compete with 50-cent an hour products, wages for products coming out of Vietnam, coming into the U.S. for free? I mean, you know, whatever Vietnam exports to the United States, that's going to whack small businesses in agriculture and elsewhere across the board. No, so it's not just an anti-worker bill, it's an anti-small business bill.
They can just move their company to Vietnam and then they can just pay their employees 50 cents an hour. No problem.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's going to affect whether small businesses a lot of them can stay in businesses. The imports are going to be so cheap that it's going to put a lot of them out of business, too. Now, you mentioned something about suing in courts. I heard that this TPP, when you say suing in courts, it's not U.S. courts. This is going to be courts outside the U.S., the special courts set up as part of this deal. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be set up an international trial. The ISDS claims that would take place, and that already do take place, in international tribunals that are basically run by people who are not accountable to any government. They're not run by any kind of elected officials or anything like that. You can actually, on citizenstrade.org, read in depth more about some past investor state dispute cases. And how they go down, and what happens basically is each side kind of picks a person to represent them, usually a lawyer or somebody who has some kind of experience in the industry or field that's being challenged, you know, or a claim brought upon it. And after agreeing to each side's rep, I guess you would say, or, you know, person who's going to represent them, there's a third party, a judge that's put in place. And all of this is done in a very sneaky type of procedure. It's not done under in our system of law and under, you know, the judicial system that we're used to. and then that we would probably hope to be able to be in where we get to face ourselves in this kind of a lawsuit. And yeah, it's an international tribunal that takes place with, again, basically three people, the judge and each side's lawyer that each side has, that they pick. And everybody, all parties have to agree to who these three people will be. And then obviously, you know, there's probably negotiation that takes place in that agreement, but that's how it works. Yeah.
It sounds to me like it's a double attack on U.S. sovereignty and democracy. As we mentioned before, our Congress, our legislatures can't initiate legislation that in any way contradicts this TPP. In other words, the TPP legislation, the treaty, will take precedence over anything that we may try to legislate in the U.S., and that's not just trade-related, but, as you pointed out, environmentally related, or who knows, anything, typically.
Anything, a trade barrier now. So you have Philip Morris trying to sue Australia for trying to pass simple WTO health standards on packaging of cigarettes that we already have in the United States. So, you know, things like not having packaging that would be attractive to children, for example. And Philip Morris is suing them under these investor-state dispute settlement provisions, saying you can't do that. It's going to cost us money, and we're not going to pay it. So pay for that. So if you guys want to do that, that's fine. But you didn't pay us your taxpayer money. We'll take the taxpayer money, and we'll make the kid-friendly cigarette packaging if that's what you guys want. I think that's ridiculous.
And on top of that, they're going to have their own courts. In other words, places U.S. courts in that part of our political system in a secondary position as well. You know, this sounds like the early stages of global companies forming their own global government. This is a global, a corporate global government in its early stages of formation. Negate any sovereign political institutions of all countries.
The people who have been negotiating in it up until this point have been 600 corporate lobbyists. So it's not like our Congress members are sitting there negotiating and stuff. You know, no, only recently, since there's been a huge public outcry, had they finally been opening the text up to Congress members. First, it was very, very limited. They were able to go into a room and see it, not able to take any notes or have any staff. They're kind of starting to open it up more now, where they can go in and bring maybe their staff in and maybe even take a few notes on what they're reading. But the fact that these 600 corporate lobbyists are the ones sitting there negotiating with the leaders of other countries, deciding on what's in it, and that they know the text of it better than our own Congress reps do, it is scary, and I don't know, it's hard to not conclude that that's what they're trying to do, is try to set up this beginning of, you know, maybe some kind of global governance. But what they say, the President Obama and those who are for it, is that it's good for our economy, it's good for jobs, and that it's good for business. And I just don't understand what numbers they're looking at, because we've seen the jobs leave our country. We've seen the wages be driven down. We've seen what happened with NAFTA. We were promised the same things, and it did not come to fruition. You know, I think one of the things that happens with the numbers the government likes to use on how they say, oh, well, it's going to boost our economy, is they use data that will maybe take something that happens in exporting that. A product comes overseas from another country, and it comes into the L.A. port or the Long Beach port, and then it's driven across the border into Mexico. Well, the government wants to say, the United States government likes to say, oh, that was a U.S. export. I mean, it wasn't really a U.S. export. It was made in another country. It was shipped here. Somebody loaded it onto a truck and drove it across the border to Mexico. That's not a U.S. export. You know, and so they like to add things like that into their export counting, and that's how we get these different numbers. And we're like, wait a second, this is what we've been exporting. And they're like, no, exports have been, you know, large. We don't have a trade deficit. Well, that's because they're using things that aren't really exports and counting them as exports. So they're getting very, very sneaky with all this stuff and the number crunching and trying very, very hard to make these deals look appealable to people. So one other thing I want to begin saying if we have time is that there's also a glaringly horrible human rights issue here that at least one of the countries we're negotiating with, Brunei, has recently passed horrific laws that result in the stoning of women who are simply accused of things like adultery and also of the LGBT community if they are found out to be so. And, it becomes even a local issue, this human rights issue, because the Sultan of Brunei owns hotels in California, specifically the Beverly Hills Hotel. And so I know Unite Here is a union that I've also been working with who has been actively engaging in a boycott of the Beverly Hills Hotel. We had a rally there last month at the park across the street because we're trying to get the message out that, you know, it's disgusting what is done in the country of Brunei. It's absolutely shameful that we're negotiating this TPP treaty with this country. And if anything, they at least need to be removed from it. When he bought the Beverly Hills Hotel, he busted the union. He busted the union that was there and hired back all non-union employees. So not only is the Sultan of Brunei, a human rights violator in his own country, but he's a union buster right here in California in Los Angeles. The very popular hotel, the Beverly Hills Hotel, that many famous people in our country, in our state, that have a lot of money, spend a lot of money at. So these are problems. I don't like that going on in my backyard. Unions like Unite Here and other human rights groups like the Feminist Majority in California Now, Human Rights Center, Pride at Work, Upward, the LA LGBT Center, they're all against the TPP as well because of this glaringly human rights issue that's also embroiled in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. It's not just an economic trade issue, and it's really not about trade. As you pointed out, there's only like half a dozen sections of the bill or of the agreement, the treaty, that deals with direct trade, exports, imports. You know, it's mostly, as all these free trade agreements are, mostly about defining the terms and conditions for American corporations to invest and operate in these other countries. It's all about what we call foreign direct investment. It's all about offshoring. It's all about taking the money and the capital, $1 trillion a year in stock buybacks, and taking it somewhere else and having a free hand to do whatever they want, these multinational corporations in these countries. That's what it's about. And the concessions that they make at our expense in order to get this free hand to run the way they want. It's all about global corporate power, blatant power. And, it goes back to 2010. I said I'd say something about that, and I'd like to at this point. If you look at when this became a priority on the agenda here, is in 2010 when President Obama put in charge of his trade relationships and deals Jeff Immelt, the CEO of General Electric, one of the biggest corporations in the world, in fact, maybe the biggest, huge, powerful corporation that trades and operates all over the world. They put him in charge of trade measures and the so-called job program at the time. You wonder why we didn't get many jobs for 5 years. Well, you put a guy in charge of it whose job is not jobs, creating jobs for everybody else. His job is making as much money he can for GE stockholders. And by the way, GE just announced this last week they're going to buy $50 billion of their stock back. This is the guy who was put in charge in 2010. And they held it off until after the 2012 elections in the U.S. because it would have been too embarrassing to Democrats trying to run for office. So they sort of postponed it. And also Obama had to wrap up some of these bilateral free trade agreements, you know, with Colombia and Korea and some of the others, you know, the loose ends from the Bush period. And once they got that out of the way, you know, it was 2014, very close elections. But now, once the 2014 midterm elections are over, now this thing, free trade, TPP, comes right to the top of the agenda. And that's where it's been ever since last November. But folks should have no delusions. Obama has been a free trader from the very, very beginning, absolutely, totally committed to free trade, unlike Democrats in the past. You know, this is not the Democratic Party of your fathers and mothers. You know, this isn't even the Democratic Party of my youth. This is the Democratic Party that's been captured by corporate interests, lock, stock, and barrel, since the late 1980s and early 1990s. There still is a progressive wing within it, but they're getting smaller and smaller. But this is a test case. If the progressive wing of the Democratic Party does not express itself and block this thing, then it's dead forever, as far as I'm concerned. Excuse me. Okay, and the other point I'd like to make is that...
To kill the TPP, we want to kill Fast Track. So, again, if everybody can call their Congress reps, you know, I have another website I think is a really easy way for people to call as well, because if you do it on your phone or even from your computer if you have speakers, you can just go to stopfasttrack.com. And what comes up is a little space where you can put your phone number in, and it will literally call Congress for you. And it gives you talking points as well.
Well, will it forward you to your local Congress or person, or will it,
it will give you some general
Congress number?
You put your phone number in. I mean, unless you've moved and your zip code is a different zip code than where you've moved to, but even then, you know, you can still tell them, well, I just moved and I was your constituent and whatnot. But as long as, you know, your zip code matches where you live right now, because it's going to use your zip code to connect you to a rep.
Okay.
So when you put your phone number in.
Because I know if, you, if you're not in your rep's district and you try to call Congress and you're outside of it, you won't be able to get to your rep. You'll get a message.
Yeah, you know, you actually can call, and now, you know, I have some Facebook pages set up and stuff, SoCal Fair Trade Campaign, if people wanted to go there, because I'm constantly posting the direct numbers to some of these D.C. offices that we need people to call.
What's the URL for that? Online.
Well, you know, I don't know the switchboard number to Congress off the top of my head. I really apologize. I could probably Google it real quick. But that's why I was saying, if you just go to stopfasttrack.com, it will connect you to that Congress switchboard and connect you straight to the DC office. But, you know, you can call them even if you're not a constituent. It's where you go to their website and you try to email them that they will ask you to put your address in. And if you're not a constituent, you cannot send them an email unless, you know, you have their chief of staff or something's email, which we also post sometimes on the SoCal Fair Trade Campaign Facebook page. And there's also Expose the TPP, which is a very good page on Facebook that is also constantly posting actions that we need people to take as far as calling and what numbers to call and what.
Where was that last one then, or where actions are reported?
Expose the TPP.
Expose the TPP?
Uh-huh. The Facebook page.
Just expose the TPP.org or com?
No, I'm sorry. That's a Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and you type that in, that search engine, you'll see the Facebook page pop up.
Okay.
It's an easy way for people to get information if they are on social media. But again, if that's all too complicated for you, you can really just go to stopfasttrack.com. Punch your phone number in, hit call, and it'll connect you to the Congress switchboard and help you get to your Congress rep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Okay, I just want to say a few words about the bigger political grand game going on that TPP is part of it here. And that is, we all know that the USA has a new strategy of pivoting to Asia in order to check China's growing economic political power, and that's the new focus for U.S. foreign policy as they try to, not so successfully, unravel themselves from the morass of the Middle East. But, you know, China is becoming much more powerful and influential in soft power, not just economic power. And they've formed, or are trying to form, their own free trade agreement in the area. China is not invited to be part of TPP, by the way. So TPP is part of this U.S. pivot towards Asia. It's the part of the economic expression of this military pivot toward Asia that's going on long term now. And if they don't get TPP, then they've undermined the U.S. Policymakers and those who run the government have undermined their ability to make this political military pivot to Asia. It's going to be hard to do if they don't get TPP. And that means that there will then be a China version of TPP in Asia that will be dominated by China. And that means that China, which is playing a key role in developing alternative global economic institutions to the World Bank and IMF, this is in progress now. They've just formed this Asian Investment Infrastructure Bank as a challenge to the World Bank, which is dominated by the U.S., and they will soon also try to establish, along with Russia and some of the others, a counter institution to the International Monetary Fund. And then, of course, China's currency is rising in terms of importance in the world. So, you know, these global international institutions that are being developed as a counterpoint to U.S.-dominated institutions, the currency challenge to the U.S. dollar, the free trade challenge, TPP is part of this grand game going on, and they really need TPP in order to make this pivot to Asia. That's why they're pulling out all the plugs to pass TPP, and you know, it comes down in the immediacy to this issue of fast track, which is the linchpin to TPP. So we can see how powerful and important this TPP thing is, both in the grander global maneuvers and political positioning that's going on here. So that's just you know, to put it all in a larger global international political context of what TPP is about. Immediately, of course, it's about jobs, it's about environment, it's about losing democracy and control over our own affairs and our own country here. It's about human rights and women's rights and all kinds of issues. So it's really an issue that people should really organize around. It's a good issue for that to check the powers and the wealth accumulation that's going on in corporate America and their shareholders. Anyway, I just wanted to have that final piece of information for folks to chew on. Once again, before we conclude, Callie, what would you like to leave people with the main message here?
Really call your Congress rep and ask them to commit to voting no on the new fast-track bill that has been introduced. We want to let them know that it's the same old bill that we opposed last year. It still offshores jobs and drives down wages, and it's already has a lot of opposition. It's dead on arrival. And they need to join us in committing to voting no for it.
Okay, that's the bottom line, folks. Something you can do if you don't want to get out there on the street today, at least make some phone calls and have your voices heard.
Yeah, I want to say one last thing. We had a forum in Bloomington last weekend with Congress reps Pete Aguilar and Norma Torres, and they came and spoke to about 100 people that showed up from the community on this issue. And one thing Norma Torres told them was that she is undecided on this issue, and if so many people are against it, then she needs to hear from them. And she started challenging people and telling them, write me the letters. She says, I see you have a flyer on the table over there for a handwritten letter campaign. If you're in this room right now and you're concerned about this issue, then you better write me a letter. And she said, you need to put your name on it and your first and your last name and your address so she knows that you are a real person that exists. And then she can listen to you. So
you know what? Even Omar Torres, who's one of the Congress that's going to contact me from California, is telling people, if you care about an issue, you need to get involved and let your congressman know how you feel about it and how you want them to vote on it. That way they can listen to their constituents and actually vote the way they want them to. If they don't hear from you and they don't know how you want them to vote on it, then they can't listen to you.
Yes, and it's important that, you know, not just workers with their jobs at stake or unions express themselves. But this is an issue that is more than just wages and jobs, obviously. You know, if you care about democracy and the, you know, the loss and the evaporation, the, you know, destruction of democracy that we see going on all the time in little increments here and there. Well, this is a big increment if this thing gets passed. If you care about that, jump in and write a letter, make a phone call, folks, and not just, you know, those issues. There's all kinds of issues. If your, you know, issue is not wages and unions, if it's, you know, not democracy, you know, maybe it's human rights. Well, maybe it's the environment. Well, everything's at stake here with this particular piece of legislation, if you call it that. You know, at least make a phone call or write a letter, because as Callie just said, if not only the volume of calls and letters will influence some of these people in Congress on the fence, but if it comes from different groups, that's important too. Okay, again, the last thing, go to globaltradeday.org for information. Go to stopfasttrack.com. And, Callie, did I miss one here they should go to?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay, very good. And then, of course, we earlier mentioned the AFL-CIO and hashtag Stop Fast Track and the telephone numbers and so forth at the beginning of the show that you can refer to. Okay, this is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. Next week, we will take a look at what's happening again in Greece. Will it default? And will the European Union economic recovery falter as a result? Okay, Alternative Visions.